Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In our last study, we saw some various sins that cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. We spoke about these sins last time. Now, we were told that those characteristics need to be abandoned. In our text today, we'll see characteristics, though, that need to be developed in our life. We saw what we're to put off. Now we see what to put on in verse 32. Every believer, this should be true of. These attitudes should be developed day by day. The first one that we see, be kind to one another. The word kind carries the idea of being good and pleasant and gracious in our dealings with others. When we're kind to others, we give evidence that we are saved and we're walking under the leadership of the Spirit of God. Kindness is mentioned as the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. We're also told in Galatians to be gentle. Kindness and gentleness go hand in hand. When we're kind, we're like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're like the Father. Luke 6 tells us in verse 35 and 36, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Luke 6, verses 35 and 36. So we see that when we're kind, even to the unthankful and to the evil ones, we are children of the highest. Children of the highest. What a high calling. The children of the highest. We are to be kind to one another. And that means regardless of how others treat us, we are to always respond by being kind, gentle, and gracious in our dealings with others. That pleases the Lord and it proves that we're his children. We saw in our last study about bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice, how this is totally opposite of that, by being kind to one another. Then the apostle goes on. You know as well as I that this is not always easy. When somebody goes off on us, yelling, screaming, being mean, when we're mistreated, naturally we want to respond in anger, but we're no longer to be natural. We are now supernatural. The Holy Spirit dwells inside us. When we're slandered, the natural tendency is to attack back. But Paul is saying, no, be ye kind. Be ye kind to one another. When we're mistreated, we naturally want to respond in anger. But we're to be kind. God knows our frame. He knows that we struggle with this. This is why it says it in the text. We're told to be working on these different characteristics to become like the Savior. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. For even hair to were you called? This is what you were called to. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his footsteps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. These are high things. These are beautiful things that, as I said, naturally we don't do them, but we're not to be natural any longer. We are to behave in a supernatural way because now we have been made partakers of the divine nature. We're to be kind to others, not only kind to others, but tender-hearted. Tender-hearted means to be compassionate towards others. It has the idea of literally feeling another person's need in the depth of our being. The word translated tender-hearted literally means to have strong bowels. As I said, it bowels in the depths of our being. It speaks of a spirit of empathy concerning the needs of others. What comes to my mind is the story of the Good Samaritan, where the two men in the text walk past the one that's been robbed and beaten and cast on the side of the road. Two of the men continue on their way, while the Good Samaritan stops and ministers to the person and lifts them up and brings them to a place to stay and even goes so far as to pay their way. He had compassion. He was tender-hearted, the Good Samaritan. We ought to be in our dealings with others like the Good Samaritan. Like Christ, we're to place the needs of others before our own needs. We're to enter into the sufferings of others so that we might help them and lighten their load. But so often, we just want to get about our business. How often do we just drive by the person that's broken down on the side of the road? We have no time for that. We got to get on our way. And the sad thing about the story of the Good Samaritan is the one fella had to get to the temple. I got to go. I got to get to service. I got to go hear about what the Lord commands us. But unfortunately, I don't want to do it. How often do we see ourselves that way? That's why the apostle admonishes us in the text. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. We're to love one another. We're to love our fellow believers so much that we put them ahead of ourselves. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Not to look on the things of others to covet them, which is, quote unquote, the natural tendency. But once again, we're to live supernatural lives. Galatians 6:2, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Our motivation for this is to be the same that motivated Jesus to do what he did. He loved us. He loved us. When we love him as we should, and when we love others like we should, we'll express that love and being tender-hearted towards others. Tender-hearted action on the behalf of others. Matthew 22:37-40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Loving God, loving your neighbor. Once again, this is not natural for us. But we're to work towards this being a way of life, because we're no longer our own. We've been bought with the Christ. We're part of the royal priesthood. We're to minister to others, sacrifice for others, lift others up, love others, bear one another's burdens, being kind to one another, tender-hearted towards one another. And now we see forgiven one another. Paul says we're to practice forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Tall order. But let's consider it for a moment. The word forgiven refers to a pardon extended to an offending party. The idea here is that when somebody has offended you, you're to extend to them absolute and complete forgiveness. This forgiveness is to be given freely, and it is to be given immediately. Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're to forgive immediately whether you think they deserve it or not, whether they have asked for forgiveness or not. The duty of forgiveness is not to rest on the person who wronged you. It rests on you and you alone. Forgiveness is commanded for the children of God. Luke 17:1-5. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him to whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. For if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. See? Increase our faith. The disciples knew, this is hard. Forgiveness is a hard thing, but the Lord has called us to it. Matthew 18:21-23. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And don't start counting your brother 490 times. It doesn't mean that. It means endlessly. Endlessly. You're to keep on forgiving. But let me say this. We're not as God. God says that when he forgives you, he forgets. We don't forget. Forgiveness does not mean forgetfulness. I still remember what has been done by others. But that event or that person will not be allowed to make me bitter. When I forgive the offenses of another person, I have to learn from that experience and still keep a watchful eye on that person who wronged me. It tells us in Romans 16:17-18. Now I beg you, brothers, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Yes, we are to forgive. But yet, mark them. Mark them. Keep it in the back of your mind. The scripture says to be as wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. It's like somebody's wronged you. Okay, you forgive that person. But keep it in the back of your mind. Keep it in the back of your mind. When we forgive others for their offenses, we do not hold the issue against them. Neither are we to carry the issue around in our heart and allow it to turn into anger and bitterness. So that makes all the difference in the world. So you forgive. You're not angry, you're not bitter with that person any longer, but you're like, We got to see. We'll keep that in the back of our mind about whether to trust you the next time. Put it this way. If the person keeps wronging you and wronging you and wronging you and wronging you, yes, you forgive them, but you don't keep exposing yourself to the same thing over and over and over and over and over. We put the matter in the Lord's hand. If anything needs to be done about the matter, the Lord will handle it in his time and his own way. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. See, vengeance is mine. The Lord tells us to forgive. We are the ones to be the forgiven ones. If that person keeps sinning against you, you forgive them. Don't necessarily keep exposing yourself to the same thing with the person. If the person keeps robbing from you, you don't keep leaving money out on the kitchen table for them to rob it. You get my point? Yes, you forgive the person, but you're not forgetful. You're not forgetful. You don't keep doing the same exact thing over and over and over with the person. And to what extent are we to forgive? We're to forgive to the same extent that God has forgiven us. And God illustrates this perfectly in the parable that's found in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. There's too many verses for me to go through them here, but it's the story of the unforgiven servant. The unforgiven servant. He has a great debt. He can't pay it. He begs the king to relieve him of his debt. And the king does. And then no sooner is his debt forgiven than he goes out and his fellow brother owes him a little bit of money. And he does everything possible to get that money back from the guy. And let me read just a little part of it. Matthew 18, verse 29. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And he would not. He would not, but went and threw him at the prison till he should pay his debt. See, he did the exact opposite of what the king did for him. The king forgave him a debt that he could never pay. He owed him 10,000 talents, and yet the master forgave him. Continuing on verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called them, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each one of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Strong words from Jesus Christ. Strong words. You've asked the master to forgive you all of your debt. And the Lord forgave you all that debt because you begged him. You came to him asking for forgiveness. And he's forgiven you all of your sins. And yet, your brother has wronged you in some way, shape, or form, and you don't want to forgive him. You see how ridiculous that sounds? God has forgiven you a million sins, and you don't want to forgive your brother a few of them, your brother or your sister. When the Lord forgave us our offenses, he forgave them all, past, present, future. He forgave us fully, perfectly, and eternally. That there's nothing between us and him that he has not forgiven. How much more should we forget? How much more should we forgive? He tells us here that we're to forgive others to the same extent. Keep on forgiving. We are not allowed to hold anything against anyone for any reason. Brother and sister, I'll say once again, as I did in the last message, I understand you've been hurt, but we have to forgive. No matter how we've been wronged, we have to forgive. We're to forgive, and we're to do it completely. And when we do, it proves that we are the masters, that we are one of Christ's ones. It proves that we're walking in his love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it speaks all about love. Genuine, Christ-like love. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not its own. Is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. That phrase, thinks no evil, means that love does not hold to a record of wrongs done to it. That's truly love. Even as Christ was being crucified, Father, forgive them. Stephen, when he was being stoned, said to forgive them. Do not hold this to their account, Lord. Forgive them. True love forgives, and it lets the offender and his actions go free. Now that's supernatural. That is totally opposite than the world, everything that the world is about. We are to be different, though, from the world. We're different now. This whole section in Ephesians is telling you about being different, about putting off concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's what you were. You now put off your former. It's the way you used to be. You don't forgive me, I don't forgive you. It's a pound of flesh for a pound of flesh. They've wronged you, you wronged them. Former conduct, though. Now it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, what I'm talking about is true righteousness and true holiness. See, I'm not talking about some blue laws that you don't do anymore and thinking that that's holiness. This is holiness. This is being set apart, being kind, forgiven, tenderhearted. These things don't come naturally, brothers and sisters. These are developed by the Holy Spirit. Realize this, when you do not forgive others, you build your own prison and you shackle yourself with the chains of what they've done to you. You become the prisoner. You think that you're holding this hatred in your heart towards them and you're hurting them. You're hurting yourself. You're putting yourself in prison yourself and putting the chains on yourself. When we don't forgive, we limit our potential for Jesus Christ. We enslave ourselves to the sins of others. You become the prisoner of that person's sins. Instead of just, I forgive you, I love you, I'm going to be kind to you, tender hearted, and that's it. That's the greatest thing that you can do, brothers and sisters. If I'm going to forgive you and be tender hearted to you and love you in spite of whatever you do to me, what's the worst you can do to me? Kill me? And what happens? I go to heaven. I go to be with Christ forever and ever and ever. You understand? That's the worst thing that could possibly happen, is your enemy kills you and you go to glory. As opposed to you got hatred, you got anger, you got bitterness, you got wrath, yeah, you're speaking evil, and all of those are just chains on you, brothers and sisters. And Paul's telling us in the text, this is how you take the chains off. Be kind to one another. That's it. You don't have to be in bondage to others that way. Kind to one another. Tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. God in Christ forgave you. When I read these things in the text, I understand why the disciples said what they said. When the Lord told them they were to practice forgiveness, they said, increase our faith. Increase our faith, Lord. Because this is not natural. But once again, we're not to be natural, we're to be supernatural, because we're new men and women that are created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We're not to live natural lives anymore. We're not to live like the world. You're not to live like the way you used to live. You're to put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. And for that to happen, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith, because that's the only way we're going to ever accomplish what the Lord has commanded us to do in these verses before us. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you. Put it away. Put it away. Put it off. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now put on the new man. Kind, loving, tender-hearted, forgiving. Beautiful. Beautiful. But Lord, increase our faith to make that happen. We must abandon the activities of the old man. Put it away. Bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, gossiping. To do that, we must have faith in the Lord. And as we trust him by faith, he'll help us to do the things that he requires of us here. But we have to cry out as the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. Because that's how you walk the Christian life. That's how you go through the Christian life, moment by moment, by faith. You count it to be true what the Scripture says about it. What the Scripture says about you in the situations. You're dead to sin, but alive to God. Now, moment by moment, you count that to be true. Moment by moment, you put off your former conduct. And moment by moment, you put on the new man. And that's only done by faith. Faith. We put off the old, the wrath, the bitterness, the anger, the evil speaking, and we put on forgiving one another, tender-hearted, kind of one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. He's telling you why you should do it. God's forgiven you everything because of what Christ has done. Now that is what we're to do. We got to search our hearts. We have to see what characterizes our life. And as you grow in your Christian walk, as you become more mature in being a Christ one, you should see kindness, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, loving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He's comparing you with what God has done. You used to be of your father, the devil. Now you're of your father, God Almighty. We're to act like Christ ones now. A Christian means a Christ one. And Father, we pray that you would increase our faith, that we would be more Christ-like every day of our lives, and that every day we would be kinder, gentler, more tender-hearted, more forgiving. And we would put away bitterness, wrath, and evil speaking. We'd put that away. We'd put it off. And we'd put on a new man, which you've created. And Father, we thank you for creating that new man, that you came to us when we were dead in our sins and trespasses. And even now, if there be anyone that has been listening, that has never come to Christ for forgiveness, even as you see in the text, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If anyone is listening today that has never come to God for forgiveness of their sins, they've never come asking for forgiveness because of Christ and Christ's payment for the sin of men and women, the payment that he made, that God, you're able to forgive us our sins because of what Christ has done. I would pray that there be any that has listened today and has never come to Christ, that today they would come to Christ for salvation and simply repent of their sins and ask Jesus Christ to save their souls. And Father, we pray that that would be true today. In the precious name of Christ, amen.